What is going on, everybody? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. I'm your host, Curry Blanford, and today I'm talking to Molly Stillman. So Molly is somebody who I met via Instagram, one of those good sides of social media where you connect with people. And I just saw her podcast called Business with a Purpose and was like, I've got to have this person on. Obviously, she's been doing podcasting for like 4 years. Pretty amazing. So much longer than me. And just we capture some of the same themes about how people use their business for good in the world. And it was just so cool to connect with her. She also has a longtime blog called her website at Still Being Molly, and just some really cool stuff. I think this episode for me really highlights how God puts a burden on somebody to do something in the world. And so you get that with Molly's story in this episode. We also talk about her salvation story that happened after a tragic loss in her family. And just there's a lot of good. There's a lot of dense story in this one, and just so much good where you could see God just working throughout everything for his good. And so I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. Molly's super funny, and we talk about all the things. So it's a great episode. I can't wait for you to hear it. I just want to remind everybody to make sure you're following me at Theology of Hustle on Instagram and Facebook, and at Curry Blanford on Twitter. Next week's episode will be my 2-year anniversary episode. And so I can't wait for y'all to hear that. Make sure you're staying up to date with all those things. And I really hope you enjoy hearing from Molly. Well, Molly, I can't say thanks enough for jumping on the podcast with me and chatting a little bit. This is fun.
Thank you so much for having me, Curry.
In a lot of ways, I'm like, I mean, you've been doing this podcasting thing a lot longer than me, right? How long have you been podcasting?
I've been podcasting since the summer of 2016, but that's my current podcast. But then I have a background actually in radio and had done some other podcasting work like back in the day, like 2009, 2010. Those podcasts don't exist anymore on the internet. I don't even know where they are. But yeah, like 2010, even into like 2011, I used to do radio and I did comedy and I had a comedy segment podcast. And so
that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Cause I'm 2 years in and I feel like I'm old school now, you know, with all these younger people coming in the game, but man, you've been at it a long time. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun.
That's cool. So let's just start off the podcast and just have you sort of introduce yourself to everybody, what you do and all of that stuff.
Yeah. So my name is Molly Stillman and I am a wife to John, and we just celebrated 8 years of marriage, and I am a mom to Lily and Amos. And Lily is 6 and a half, which she is very quick to make sure that you include the half, because that's really important.
Yes.
And then Amos, he just turned 4. And so in addition to obviously wifing and momming, I also am a blogger. My blog is Still Being Molly. And I've been blogging since 2007. And actually, even before that, I had a live journal, which is like real, real old school. And I always like to joke that it was very emo and there was a lot of Dave Matthews and Dashboard Confessional lyrics on it. And it was really, really a special time. and then I started podcasting in 2016. And it's called Business with Purpose. And I interview all different types of entrepreneurs and business owners who are trying to make a difference in the world through their careers. And so it's so much fun. I also travel and I speak at a lot of conferences. I teach workshops and it's so much fun. I also, I am a Christ follower. And so I love Jesus a whole lot. So I love talking about him. And I am kind of in a new season of feeling called to some type of ministry. And so I'm kind of praying through that right now and all of that. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
That's a few things. You got some stuff going on there. Do you know Enneagram by any chance?
Yeah. I am a 2-wing 3.
Okay. Okay. I knew there was some 3 in there because I'm a 3. My wife's actually a 2. So I knew that, there was some of that there.
Yeah. But no, I am a 2... like I am a 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2. And I'm married to a 8-wing-8. Like, he isn't there. Oh. There is nothing outside of an 8. Like, he is an 8 all the way. So.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So let's walk through your life story a little bit, to how you got to sort of where you are now. How did, like, this whole blogging and podcasting thing sort of come about?
So I was an English major in college, and my concentration was in creative writing. And this is going to sound very strange, but so I mentioned very briefly that I have a background in comedy. My dream for most of my life was to be on Saturday Night Live. That was all I wanted to do. Nice. And I did sketch and improvisational comedy for about 15 years. And, but I loved comedy writing. I've just always been a big fan of comedy. And so I actually did, I was trained, in improv comedy at, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York City. I've taken classes with the Second City out of Chicago. I took classes at the People's Improv Theater, and then a comedy theater in Richmond and a comedy theater here in North Carolina. So I love it as an art form. And so when I was in college, you know, I just loved to write. And so I actually started my blog originally because I wanted to be like The Onion. I started this blog where I would write all these different satirical pieces on just the most random things. And like, a lot of that stuff I have since archived because it's very embarrassing when I'm like, I can't believe I put that out into the internet. That is special. And then over the years, it just sort of transitioned into a more of a lifestyle blog where I just started sharing bits and pieces of my life. My life was going through a big transition at that point. And, you know, I just was using it as this creative outlet, while I was going through a lot of big, hard things in my real life. You know, in 2009, I had moved to North Carolina. I was tens of thousands of dollars in debt. I was not a Christian at the time. I was I was in a really difficult relationship. I was in a bad spot. And through all of that, writing was an outlet for me. I mean, it had always been an outlet for me. My mom was a writer. And so that just was really a place that I was able to release and process a lot of that. And pretty soon I realized, oh, there are people reading this that I don't know, like people in Australia and Brazil and how is this a thing? And so then fast forward to 2012. I got married. I was now a Christian. I became debt free, and I was, you know, sharing more and more of that journey and building this amazing community online of people who I felt close to, but I'd never met them before. And it just felt very strange. And, but then also at that time I realized that, I think I could actually do this as a business. And so I began to be just a little bit more strategic in how I was creating content and how I was approaching monetization. And it just kind of grew from there. I mean, with a lot of hard work. People always think like, oh, that's cute. You have a blog. Like, do you like take pictures of yourself and put them on the internet? And I'm like, yeah, if it were only that simple to to run a business, you know, I'm like, this is a business. Like, I pay taxes. I have a business account. Like, I, you know, like all this kind of stuff. Like, this is not just like a little hobby. And then again, with my background in radio and my love for just audio and production and things like that, I'd said for years that I wanted to start a podcast. And finally, in like 2015, my husband was like, oh my gosh, just do it. Stop talking about it. So I was like, okay. So I spent probably a good, you know, 5 or 6 months really planning it out and okay, what was it going to be called? And then once I settled on a title and the content, then I was like, okay, I really want to get a good bit of content under my belt before I release it in case this completely flops. And so I had about 10 to 12 episodes done before I even launched. But that set me off in such a great, or it started me off in just a really great position, because then I wasn't hustling so much.
Right.
I realize your show is called The Theology of Hustle, but I wasn't like hustling so much to the point that I was worried that I wasn't going to have any content. And so, since that time, I've had a new episode every single week for almost 4 years now.
Wow.
And I've only had one repeat guest ever. So,
that's
amazing. 184 some episodes now. So it's, it's so much fun.
Okay. If I could, and that's an amazing story. Thank you for kind of walking that through. Can we go back though to when you kind of became a Christian, in 2009, I guess? How did all that sort of go down?
Yeah. So I actually became a Christian, in the fall of 2010. So, I have to go even back a little bit further. So, I grew up, both of my parents were raised Irish Catholic. They were both one of five. They both went to Catholic school growing up, and, they were recovering alcoholics. And so they met in AA. And in a lot of ways, AA for them became their religion. And it wasn't that they were not Christ followers. They have been hurt by the Catholic Church. They just, to be completely frank. So when they were raising me, like they were really raising me to just kind of find my own way. And in some ways that was good. In some ways it wasn't. But I mean, I had amazing parents who were just, there was so much love in my house. And I talk all the time about how my mom was just one of those people, like she was somebody who lived a life like Jesus. She was so generous and humble. She was kind. She was the kind of person who she took in anyone and everyone who needed help and needed love. Mm-hmm. And the people that society would just cast aside, like she was that person who would be there for them. And she was known far and wide as being like that. And but she, in the fall of 1992, she became gravely ill. She got sick. She was a Army nurse in the Vietnam War. And while she served in Vietnam, she was exposed to really high levels of the chemical agent, Agent Orange. And got sick in 1992 due to her exposure to that chemical. And was within 24 hours was in ICU on ventilators, very, very ill, hanging on for dear life. She went on to live another 10 years and fight that disease. The disease doesn't have a name. Only about four other people in the world have ever been diagnosed with anything similar. And eventually the disease took her life in November of 2002. And I was a senior in high school. And throughout that time, like that 10 years was a really, really difficult time to watch my mom suffer in a lot of ways. Like I watched her suffer for a really, really long time. Mm. And her death in a lot of ways, like it wasn't necessarily a surprise. Like it wasn't like I didn't think that the disease would ever take her, but it wasn't like she wasn't in the hospital, you know, on her, like it was a normal Thursday night. We went to bed and she didn't wake up the next day. Wow. But then during that time, there was just so much that was going on. And I just remember I was really struggling with faith. And I was really struggling I didn't know what the gospel was. I didn't understand the gospel. I'd been to church, but the gospel had never been presented to me in a way that I could understand it. And all I knew of God was that God was love and all these kinds of things. And I just kept thinking, like, why would God let this happen to my mom, who is an amazing person and is one of the hardest working and most selfless and giving and caring people. Like I just didn't understand suffering and I didn't understand the Bible. And so after her death, like I went into a really pretty difficult time emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And so, you know, fast forward a few years, when some people are grieving, 'cause I never dealt with my grief, I never went to counseling. I shut it away and I was like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm going to do comedy and make people laugh. And I just hid behind that. And some people, when they go through grief and they turn to things like drugs and alcohol, that was not me. I turned to spending money. I turned to shopping. And that sounds really like, oh, she just went to the mall and spent money. No, I would just spend money because it made me feel better to get that, like, to go out to dinner or to go to the mall and buy a new pair of shoes or to go and travel somewhere, like to spend money. Just, I got that quick hit of dopamine or whatever, of endorphins. And I would just be like, oh, I feel better. And it just began to make me feel better. But it's one of those silent struggles that people don't talk enough about. And, but then after many decisions, poor financial decisions, I found myself in June of 2008, a year out of college, over $36,000 in consumer credit card debt. And I was a high school English teacher making $30,000 a year. And I couldn't make the minimum payments on my cards anymore. And I was in so far over my head that all of a sudden I realized, oh, I'm in more debt than I make in a year.
Wow.
And I had that realization. I had a panic attack. Full-blown, like, fetal position on the floor, like, panic attack. And got connected with a nonprofit consumer credit counseling agency that was working with me at the time to help me. But I was so ashamed of the decisions I'd made. I was so ashamed of how I'd gotten myself in that position that I didn't want anybody to know. And so I didn't tell my dad, I didn't tell my sister, I didn't tell my roommate, I didn't tell anybody what I was going through. And so I walked through this alone and it was really lonely. And this is also during the financial crisis. So jobs were not hiring. This was, you know, the peak of the recession. And I just began to spiral. I spiraled and I spiraled. And in the... And again, fast forward a little bit. And then in the fall of 2010, I was I was living in North Carolina. I was dating this guy from work who was different. And there was something different about him. And I couldn't figure out what it was at first. And then I came to realize that he was a believer. And I was not just unchurched or dechurched. I was, by that point, I was anti-church. I was like, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with that guy. But this guy that I was dating, I was just like, something is different about him. And he had mentioned that he was going to go to church this one weekend. I mean, he was already, you know, he was active in church. He's like missed like five Sundays of church his whole life. And so he was talking about going to church one Sunday. And I just, you know, at the time I was like, I don't know what is pulling me to this. And now I'm like, the Holy Spirit was like, oh my goodness, Molly, quit trying to do things your own way. And so I said, hey, can I go to church with you? And he said, yeah. And so I went, and it was the first time that the gospel had ever been presented in a way that I was like, oh, that's what it's about? That I don't have to do things in my own strength, and I don't have to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, and I don't have to suffer alone. And God isn't going to give me more than, or he is going to give me more than I can handle, but he's not going to give me more than he can handle. Wait, what? And my life hasn't been the same since. And then, you know, I began to then look at, my money in a biblical sense. I began tithing, and I was tithing out of my lack. And I'm talking lack, like when I was dating my husband, you know, before we were even engaged, and I finally sat down and I told him everything, and I thought he was going to like run for the hills, and he didn't. And he looked and he sat and he talked with me over everything, and he looked at my finances and he was like, you know, we're going to tackle this together. You don't have money for groceries, so I'm going to pay for your groceries. And I was like, okay. He was like, how do you eat? And I was like, I don't really. I eat a lot of ramen and a lot of pasta. Like, you know? And so my life really has not been the same since. And I'm not saying that since becoming a believer that it's been easy or that I have had no suffering. That's actually the opposite. But I have just since that time, I've grown closer and closer and closer to him. And I just am at the point now where I'm like, I just want to tell everybody about how awesome he is, because like, I am telling you, if Jesus can turn my life around, he can do it for anybody.
Yeah. Wow. That is an incredible story. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Sorry. I'm still processing all of it.
No, that's okay. It's a lot.
Just a little bit. I did not expect all of that when I asked that question.
Yeah.
There's just so much there, right?
Yeah, it's the short version.
Which is awesome. Which is awesome. It just puts, but it puts like your dashboard confessional blog like into perspective, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's okay to be a little emo, you know?
I
mean,
a little bit. I was a lot emo. I'm not anymore. It's okay. Now I listen to a lot Now I listen to a lot of the Frozen soundtrack because I am a girl.
Yes.
So that's my life now.
That is a funny part about parenting. Everybody's like, hey, did you see this movie that won the Oscars? And you're like, No. I did not.
No.
Do you want to talk about Frozen 2?
Yes. Thank you. Oh my gosh. That is hilarious because my husband and I were having this exact conversation after the Oscars a couple weeks ago, because I looked at all the list of the movies and I was like, I have not even heard of any of these movies. And somebody was like, how have you not heard of like some movie that won the Oscar? And I was like, okay, here are the movies that I saw in 2019. I saw Aladdin, Toy Story 4, Lion King, and Frozen 2. Like that is what I saw in 2019.
Yeah, yeah. Like, agreed.
If it came out from Disney, then I saw it. If it didn't, then I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Did you see Spies in Disguise?
No, we did not see that, but I have heard it's good.
I'd recommend it. We just went to the theater. So, there you go.
All right. There we go. My kids are really excited about Onward, the new Pixar movie. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, right. My brother-in-law and I always say it would be fun to start a dad podcast where we just sort of review all the like kids movies that are coming out, you know.
You should definitely do that, 'cause I would listen to that.
Yeah. Well, because you don't just watch them once, you watch them like over and over and over again, right?
Over and over again. Mm-hmm.
It's good. Okay, so let's talk building a small business from scratch. Mm-hmm. Once you sort of decided with the blog that, hey, let's sort of monetize this, how did you go about doing all of that?
Yeah. Well, truth be told, when I first realized that I could monetize, I made a pact with myself very early on, like almost immediately. And I said, if I would not write about this for free, like if this is not something that I would write about anyway, I'm not going to write about it. I'm not going to take money for a campaign or a partnership that I wouldn't want to write about anyway. And so I made that pact with myself, like wrote myself my own personal contract. Like nobody's seen it, but it's like between me and God and myself and God. And because I didn't ever, even back in 2012, I could see that I was like, you know what, something could come my way where I would be tempted to write about something that I'm not actually that excited about because it pays. Mm. And I don't want to jeopardize the relationship that I have with my community that I've built, like just for money. That was something I made a decision on really early on. And then same thing with like growth. So growing the blog or growing social media or anything like that. Like I made the pact with myself that I was never going to do anything, that I felt was inauthentic or inorganic, or cheating the system.
Yeah.
And in some ways,
can I just say that that's like not a good way to build anything like on social media or whatever, right? It's like very, very difficult. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's very difficult. And it is, especially in this day and age. And, you know, in some ways it has hurt me. But in other ways it has set me apart. And I'm just a little bit different, and I've always been a little bit different. Like I was always just the kid in school who was a little bit different. Like I was class clown, and I was always just kind of like, I was not popular, but I was like well liked by lots of different types of people. Like I just always kind of marched to the beat of my own drum. And so, you know, it was just a decision that I'd made. But, you know, I surveyed my readers a couple of years ago, and one of the responses was so telling to me, where I'd asked like how long people had been reading my blog. And it was like 60% had been reading it for over 6 years.
Wow.
And to me, like that was like, these are people that stick around and they stay, or they find me and they stay. And like, so these are people that had been with me through moving to North Carolina and being unemployed and then working four jobs and then getting out of debt and then, you know, getting saved and getting married and having kids, like, you know, now, you know, going through miscarriages. Like these are people who have been there with me through it all. And I feel this like connection to them. Like I have readers in Scotland who have become like internet friends. And I mean, now I'm like, I've never met them in person, but I know if I go to Scotland, I could be like, hey, like, let's meet up. Or I have readers in Australia and, you know, Ethiopia. Like there's a girl in Ethiopia who is a like diehard follower of my blog and podcast. And she has emailed me and she tells me that every week she goes, she like walks to this internet cafe so she can download my podcast and read and listen to my latest episode and read my blog. Like, I'm just like, that's crazy to me. And so I might not have millions and millions of readers or followers, but I have a community that is like, they know me and they are connected to me. And I love that and really value that. So I have always been about slow growth. I'm never going to be about like cutting corners and going hard. But it's, you know, it's just been really a blessing. And I really feel like God has blessed that in a lot of ways. And I've been able to do some really cool things, and I've had some really cool opportunities over the years, to do things that I wouldn't have been able to do had I not had my blog. But then, you know, from a nitty gritty business standpoint, another thing that I was really intentional about from the beginning is diversifying my revenue streams. And I never wanted to put all of my eggs in one particular basket, because I was just like, you know what, if this basket goes away, then like, you know, I'll be down for a little while, but I've got other revenue streams that will support it. And so, or will fill in. And so, you know, everything from sponsored content to affiliate revenue to banner advertising to speaking and teaching workshops and doing kind of in-person content to, working through with even like, I have some direct sales that I have integrated into my content that I'd be doing anyway. And then now obviously adding the podcast. So that has added, you know, a sixth revenue stream. And so it's been really great that when one thing is down, other things kind of can carry the weight. But I see some people who start these businesses and they have like one or two revenue streams. And then if one of them's down, like you're screwed. You know what I mean? That's been really, really important to me, and something that I've really focused on a lot is making sure I'm diversifying my revenue.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's cool. I mean, we talk a lot about the evils of social media, right? How it can be addicting and all that stuff. But people don't talk enough, I don't think, about the community that can also be built via social media. And like, that's a really beautiful community, especially if it's done in the way that you do it, where it's very authentic and people follow you because like of your authenticity, you know? I think that's cool. It's good. Well, to that point though, at the same time, like the temptation to build your brand inauthentically is very strong, because it's hard to get feedback. It's hard to know if like people are listening or like even care sometimes. True?
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing that I have had a lot of conversations with myself about, because especially being an Enneagram 2, I want people to like me. I don't want people to not like me. Like if I find out somebody doesn't like me, like a mean comment on the internet is like used to ruin me, ruin me. So I've had to get a lot of thick skin over the years and just be like, if they are mean or they unfollow me or whatever, I'm like, whatever, you're not my people. But like, that is me running as a healthy two now. So like, it's taking time. But yeah, no, it can definitely be really tempting to want to grow inauthentically. And you know, it's just, I love what you said about like, there really is a beautiful part of social media that we don't talk enough about. And there's finding, and I don't like, actually, I heard this recently, where somebody said they don't like to actually use the word balance anymore because balance is, a myth, but finding this harmony, and really working more towards harmony. And, so like for me, I actually now take social media Sabbaths from Friday at 5 p.m. until Monday morning. And so I delete all social media apps from my phone. And I just don't go on. And that's my time away from it. And that is my family time. And, but for me, like to have that mental break where I'm not even tempted to just like reflexively open my phone and like pull up Instagram. And I'm like, wait, why am I scrolling Instagram right now? Like, I don't need to be doing that. So just deleting it from my phone, like it removes that temptation. And so from Friday at 5 till Monday morning, I delete it and I just don't even think about it until then. But then when I'm on, what I found by doing that is like by Monday, sometimes like I haven't even reinstalled the apps until like Monday night. And sometimes like I'll go an entire week with, and I'll get back to next Friday and I will not have reinstalled Twitter, like, or I will have like not even reinstalled Facebook. So, you know, it's made me be more intentional with the time that I'm using because then I can access like Twitter and Facebook from my desktop. So then if I like need to do something, I'm going, I'm doing it and I'm getting off because I'm less likely to just like sit and mindlessly do whatever from my desktop. But yeah, so I think it's finding that harmony between like building that community online while also like remembering that I have these tiny humans that I want to engage with and read books to and a husband who I want to have date nights with and dance in our living room and things like that. Like, you know, so just finding that not that balance, that harmony between the two.
Yeah. Well, since you brought it up, I feel like we probably should travel down the road of what does harmony look like as a mom of two little kids and just how has that maybe just ebbed and flowed over the years?
Oh yeah. It has definitely ebbed and flowed. It's good right now. I'm in a good place right now where, you know, my daughter's in kindergarten, so she's at school 5 days a week, you know, during school hours. My son is in preschool 4 days a week in the mornings. And so, you know, like right now he's at school and, you know, when they're at school, like I then get to work and I just try to get as much done as I can while they're at school. But then sometimes just the nature of what I do, like, especially sometimes like when you're dealing with people in different time zones and all that kind of stuff, like, cause I interview, especially with the podcast, like I interview people all over the world. Right. And so sometimes I'm interviewing somebody in, you know, Malaysia and I've got to figure out when I'm going to meet with them. And so, you know, sometimes like I will be the first parent to be like, sometimes I'm not ashamed where I'm like, if I have a conference call, I'm like, all right, kids, y'all get to watch a show. Mommy's got a conference call. Like, you know what I mean? Like you just, they're not going to die. Like, they're not going to like not be smart because they watched two episodes of Puppy Dog Pals while I was on a conference call. Like they're going to be fine. You know? And so sometimes during the day, like that, if that's what we have to do, or I'll just be like, all right, guys, I need you to go back. You know, if it's nice out, I'm like, all right, outside, y'all got to go. I got to do some work, you know? So I, you know, just really trying to as much as I can compartmentalize the different activities, but then sometimes there's overlap and the kids just at this point, they get it, they know. And I also want them to see that mom is mom and I'm going to like next week, I'm chaperoning my daughter's field trip and that would be during normal work time. And that's okay. Like I am thankful that I work a job where I can be like, you know what, I'm going to go chaperone my daughter's field trip and be there for that. You know, but then other times, like, you know, it's work time and my kids know that. And I want them to see that like mommy values what she does and mommy's work is important. And it doesn't have to be an either or. But then, you know, other things like at night, you know, when my husband gets home from work, like my phone is away until my kids are asleep. And then once they're asleep, you know, then it's my time with my husband. Sometimes like we're both self-employed. So sometimes we're like, all right, babe, it's going to have to be a work night, but right, we're going to sit next to each other while we work, you know, and be near each other. But yeah. And so, you know, making sure that I'm always, I mean, we read to our kids every single night and all those kinds of things, like I'm present for those things. So yeah, I think just knowing if like, oh, you know, this week is, I've been working a little bit too much. I'm going to try to, I'm going to not work as much next week. So yeah. Harmony, not balance, for sure.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. I resonate with that a lot. My wife and I are very similar in both being self-employed and, you know, doing all the things. I think what we're seeing in our generation coming up is like, we work in a gig economy, right? Where there's like, where you have to have diversified streams of income. Like that wasn't how our parents and grandparents operated necessarily. And so finding a way to imbibe faith into work that can be unpredictable and maybe a little more stressful, or, you know, is, I think it's a really a valuable thing to be doing. Right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, for sure.
Because it's easy to like have mom guilt, right? But it's also like easy to just keep working all the time and I mean, be neglectful of our kids sometimes, you know. It's harmony. That's good. That's good. So let's talk a little bit about the why behind the podcast, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess I haven't really mentioned this, but one of my big focus, my big passion and niche really is in the area of ethical and fair trade fashion, and goods and all that kind of thing. I went on a mission trip to Kenya in 2011 and was able to tour a fair trade factory there. I've actually since been back about 4 or 5 times since then. Okay. Kenya is like my second home. When I toured that fair trade factory, it was really the first time that I was able to see firsthand, like, oh, fair trade isn't just coffee, tea, and chocolate. Like, this is a way that we can really change people's lives and really tackle the issue of generational and global poverty. And so when I came home from that trip, I dove headfirst into learning as much as I could about the world of fair trade and the ethical, sustainable industry. And so it's kind of been a journey since then, since 2011. And the more that I learned, the more passionate I became about this issue, because I really feel I feel a calling that Christians need to be at the forefront of this issue, because when we look at a lot of the world's quote unquote, you know, issues like human trafficking, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, labor trafficking, or the orphan crisis, all these kinds of things, when we really look and we peel back the layers to the root cause of these issues, it's a lack of sustainable economic opportunity. It's a lack of access to reliable, safe jobs that pay a living wage. And so people are forced to do things to survive that they wouldn't want to do otherwise. Yes, is there going to be evil and sin in the world? Yes, until Jesus comes back, there's going to be evil and sin in the world. However, like, we could really tackle major issues of global poverty by providing living wage jobs.
Yeah.
And one way to do that is through the support of fair trade and ethical brands that are paying the people in their supply chains a living and fair wage. And so I just became really passionate about sharing the stories of the companies that are doing this. And, I was writing about it on my blog and I was sharing about it, and people were like, oh, I want to learn more. And I realized, you know, a lot of times, like, you can tell a story through images and the written word, but sometimes just hearing somebody's story is so much more powerful. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to start interviewing these people and just telling their story and just getting them out there. And so that's what I really started with. And that's why it was called Business with Purpose. But then pretty soon I realized that there were so many other entrepreneurs and business owners in other fields that were making a really big impact through, you know, just the gifts that they've been given or the talents that they have, you know, everybody from wedding photographers to authors and speakers to, I've had a wedding planner. I had an optometrist on the show who is, who is helping, people who are blind in developing countries, or suffering from different eye diseases in developing countries. And so he travels around and does, you know, free clinics in those countries. And so there's all these different people that are changing the world through their businesses. And so I just really wanted to highlight those people. And it's just been, it's been so cool to I've gotten to speak with really incredible people that are just doing amazing things.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, in a lot of ways, our podcasts share that similar vision, right? Of how we use our work, you know, for the good.
I love it.
Yeah. But an episode every week for 4 years, like that is a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But it's, you know, it's, yeah. And podcasting is a different animal. I mean, you know, it's a just completely different animal, but it's really, it's so much fun. I love it.
That's cool. What has been, I mean, I know you said, you know, early on your podcast sort of shifted in some ways to sort of this, you know, other way of thinking about business or whatnot. What has been one of your greatest learnings as you've talked to like all these different people about how they, you know, go about their businesses?
Yeah, that is a great question. I was actually talking with my husband about this because I think it was when I did either the 100th or the 150th episode, and I was talking about like, I've interviewed like, you know, 150 plus people all in this industry or in different industries that are doing similar things. And so like, what are the common threads? And, you know, one of the biggest things that I have learned is just the idea of commitment and never giving up. And maybe that sounds overly simplistic, but, you know, business is hard. Entrepreneurship is hard. Running a social enterprise is hard. Working in developing nations is hard. Being a wedding photographer is hard. Like, working is hard. And success has never come to anyone who quit. So the people who are successful are the people who kept going, who when they hit hurdles, when things got hard, they kept going. I love to use examples of like actors like Morgan Freeman. Like Morgan Freeman didn't get his first major role until he was in his 50s. And now he's Morgan freaking Freeman.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And so like, what would Morgan Freeman be had he given up when he wasn't getting hired on all those auditions for the 20 years prior? So it's so much about just commitment. And like, if you care about it, if you're passionate about it, keep showing up, keep doing the work, keep innovating, keep going. Because the people that keep going, like, you know, and especially like being a Christian, there's so many examples of in the Bible of people who just kept going for so many years. Right. Like, look at Joseph in the Old Testament, and you know, like that's so many years between the times his brothers sold him into slavery and the times that he was reunited. And a lot happened to him. You know, we can look at Hannah and how she prayed for years and years and years and years and years for a child, for a son. And she had no idea if God was ever going to answer her prayer. You know, there's same with Elizabeth in the New Testament. We have Paul, who was shipwrecked and bitten by a viper and like put in prison. I mean, just like, but he kept going. He kept going. And so there's so many biblical examples too of people who were faced with unimaginable situations and they kept going, and God honored their faithfulness. And so I realized, like, you know, my podcast and my blog is not ministering in Ephesus and Corinth, but it's the calling that God has placed in front of me, and he's called me to be faithful to it. And so that's really the approach that I've taken. But I've just heard, I've heard it over and over again from different entrepreneurs that they say the exact same thing.
Yeah. No, I definitely appreciate that. That's even speaking to me like in this moment personally. So thank you for that. Yeah. If you were to distill it down to kind of what maybe has kept you going in times of discouragement, like what would that, I mean, what kind of keeps you coming back to this?
Oh man, without sounding really cliche, I mean, it's just, I mean, the thing that comes to mind when you ask that is like the joy that I have found in Jesus and how my goal in life is to share that joy that I have and that peace that I have found in him with everybody that I come into contact with. And the platform that he has given me is my blog and my podcast. I mean, obviously also my family and my friends and my church community here, but, you know, I don't take for granted the fact that he has given me this platform. And I don't want to make myself famous. I want to make him famous. And that motivates me every single day because I know what life is like without him in it. And it was bad for me. It was bad. It was so lonely and it was so hopeless. And while I was standing on a stage making people laugh, I was dying inside. And so I had all this happiness on the outside, but I was so lacking in the area of true joy. Whereas now I'm not standing on a stage doing comedy, but I'm, you know, sometimes I'm standing on a stage and I'm able to teach the Bible and preach the gospel. And I'm able to talk about what true joy looks like. And yeah, I'll never take that for granted. And so that keeps me going for sure.
Yeah. Amen. I think that's awesome. And off the cuff, I mean, good work.
Thanks.
Cool. Well, is there, I mean, what are all the ways that sort of we can connect with you? Like how can my listeners sort of like find you? And do you mind giving all the deets?
Yeah. So my website is stillbeingmolly.com. I am on all social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm at Still Being Molly. And my podcast is called Business with Purpose. And you can find that on Instagram at Business with Purpose Podcast. And then any podcast app that you listen to, whether it's, what is it, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Overcast, Radio Public, any of those. You could just search it in there and there it is.
Just listen to one episode on each of them. That's
fine. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, are you ready to jump into our final two questions?
Let's do it.
Okay. So my first question is, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
The strangest job. Okay. I don't know if this fully counts, but it's definitely a unique job. So my first job out of college, like I graduated on a Sunday, moved to Richmond, Virginia on a Monday because I had a position with the governor of Virginia. I was doing a governor's fellowship. And it was this really exclusive fellowship that is like thousands of people apply and they accept like 25. And I got into it. And so I got into the program and it was when Tim Kaine was governor of Virginia. And I got assigned to his core constituent correspondence and policy development division. And my office was like right outside of his office. And so, but like one of the very random tasks. And so like when he was vice presidential candidate, and this is not like I'm an independent, so people don't think I'm like a Democrat or Republican, but like I did love working for Governor Kaine. Like he was just a really great guy. He was really nice. He was a great boss. Like he was just a really awesome dude, but he was very funny. And so one of the things that I got to do a couple of times was he really loves Diet Dr. Pepper. And so I got to bring him his Diet Dr. Pepper. And I remember one time I had walked into his office to bring him his Diet Dr. Pepper and he was like listening to Kanye West. And I was like, wait, what is happening right now? So that was definitely like a, and Yeah, it was a very unique opportunity. But that was coming off of, so I was student body president at my university my senior year of college. And so I think that was part of how I got the job. But this was also like right after the Queen had come to the United States. It was like one of her first trips to Jamestown. It was like honoring the whatever it was, like the some big month, 450th anniversary of Jamestown or something. So I got to meet the Queen of England, which was really cool. So yeah, this was during that time. So it was a very, just very unique time, like meeting the Queen, bringing the governor his Diet Dr. Pepper.
Very you were really making it in the world of government.
Really making it. Really making it. Yeah.
Good job. Good job. Okay. So then my my final question is, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to bring God's kingdom more into their work?
Man, that's good. So for me, and again, maybe this is cliche, but I'm hoping it's not, is for me, like I start every single day. I get up at 5 a.m. and I spend about an hour to an hour and a half between reading the Bible and writing in my prayer journal and just listening to worship music, reading a good book. And every single day, like when I am writing in my prayer journal, like many days, today, actually, I am praying for God to work in and through me and work in and through my work. And if I'm coming up on a decision that I need to make, or if there's something that I'm really kind of praying for as far as like growth, or, and you know, maybe there's maybe I've pitched something and I'm like, oh, I really would love to close this deal or something, you know, like I pray about it and I ask God, like, God, if this is your will, like, let's make it happen. Okay. But if it's not, then show me what is. And I pray that regularly, and I'm active in it and I'm specific in it. And sometimes I think we, you know, if we're praying for like, Lord, I really want to close this specific deal, like it feels really silly to be praying for something like that when there's all these like horrible things going on in the world. And it's like, it's not an either or.
Right.
We can pray for the suffering in the world. And then we can also pray for the things going on in our lives. Because if it matters to us, like it matters to God. He's in a relationship with us. He wants to be in an intimate relationship with us. And so if we are going to be in an intimate relationship with him, then we need to talk about the things that are going on in our lives to him, with him. And so, yeah, I pray about those things all the time. And I have seen, like, as I really started writing down my specific prayers about my business, I have seen God move in so many amazing ways where he's brought things in front of me that I can now go back 6 months in my prayer journal and like I can see where I wrote that down and how he has come through in this way. Or if I wrote down one prayer and he said no to that, but he brought me something better or different. So yeah, maybe it sounds cliche, but really just like asking God every single day, like, Lord, I want you to be the CEO of this company, not me. So show me how I can be a better steward of my company's finances. How can I be stewarding my employees well? How can I be impacting people through this work that you have put in front of me? And it does not, you don't have to be in full-time ministry. My husband is a financial advisor and he is, you know, he prays over his business and he prays over his clients regularly. And how can he help his clients be better stewards of their finances and things like that? And how can he impact them? So there's lots of different ways that you can do it, but yeah. Prayer is big and just talking with God through it.
I love it. I mean, that's great advice and something that we need to be reminded more than we need to be taught that.
Yeah.
I don't think you can hear that enough, you know? It's good stuff. Hey, it's so good to chat with you and connect. This has been a ton of fun. Thanks.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Curry. I really, really enjoyed it.
For sure. Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Molly. I just encourage you to go over and check out what she's got going on over there, Still Being Molly. I've got all the links down below for you to look into all that stuff. Great stuff that she's doing, Business with a Purpose podcast. Check them all out. It's great. I just want to remind you that this is a great time to scroll to the bottom of your app. You can leave me a rating and review there on iTunes. That's just super helpful for getting the word out about the podcast. I greatly appreciate it. And I'd love to hear your feedback, hear how you're liking Theology of Hustle and all the episodes we got. So I greatly appreciate you doing that. And until our anniversary episode, get out there or stay in and hustle.